Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast. Today, what is the realistic probability that you will experience an adverse reaction or even death from the COVID-19 vaccine? That's our topic today. As of July 9th, 2021, the VAERS system reported that there were 10,991 deaths due to the COVID-19 vaccine, with a total of 294,801 adverse reactions. These statistics are reported between December 14th of 2020 to July 9th of 2021. These are the numbers in just the United States alone. Those are some pretty scary numbers, to say the least. And today, we are asking the question of what is your likelihood of experiencing this type of reaction? That's a good question and an important one that you should be asking right now. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 2 says, "So that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we are looking at realistic facts and figures about people receiving the COVID-19 vaccine with their corresponding reactions to it. The powers that be tell us to trust the science. But how much of what they're telling us is actually science? And how much is just blind trust that what they're telling us is true? I know this much. Intellectually honest people will tell you both sides of the story, and they're not afraid of having open debates and conversations about it. On today's podcast, we are in search of the truth about how likely it is that you would experience an adverse reaction to the COVID-19 vaccines. And yes, we are going to give you both sides of the argument. You will need the wisdom of Solomon to make the right decision, and fortunately for born-again Bible believers, that wisdom is readily available to you. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are not called to live in fear, but in the perfect peace of Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered here. Lord, this is a hot topic. Chat room is heading up to 200 people already. Monday afternoon, 12 o'clock, people want to know the answers. And so, Lord, we ask you to give us wisdom. We ask you to give us discernment. We ask you to open our eyes and ears to the truth of the times that we live in. And we commit this time to you, Father, and ask for your blessing and your protection and your provision. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. Very, very glad that you're here. I've spent all morning assembling a variety of audio clips that I want you to listen to. I'm going to present both sides of the case. I'm going to give you the side of the people that say you should not take the vaccine, and I'm going to give you the side of the people that say you should take the vaccine. And I'm going to present what's actually happening as fair and as honestly as I possibly can. You may or may not like what I have to say today, but to the best of my ability and to the best of my knowledge, and whenever I do these types of programs, I always pray that God would give me wisdom and discernment. I'm not looking to say inflammatory things just so more people listen. We average about 15,000 listens every single week, so I don't need to say inflammatory things. I don't believe in sensational headlines if the story is not equally sensational. This isn't about smoke and mirrors. This isn't about bait and switch. This is about getting to the truth of a really serious topic that is affecting every single human being on the face of the earth. Should we or should we not vaccinate? That's the question that we're going to ask today. The people on the pro-vaccine side say, absolutely, don't ask any questions, just take the vaccine. And the people on the anti-vaccine side say, don't ask any questions, just don't take the vaccine. Well, we are going to ask questions today, because that's what thinking people do. And if you're born again today, you have the Holy Spirit inside you, giving you wisdom and giving you discernment. And we're going to tap into that wisdom today. We're going to tap into that discernment today. We're going to look at both sides of the issue. Because if you're intellectually honest, there is always, always two sides to every issue. It's the people that want you to make a snap decision that don't want you to look at the other side. I have heard from many, many people who were in Mormonism and the Seventh-day Adventist and the Jehovah's Witnesses. I have heard many, many times over the years that their church elders told them, don't read anything that talks against our religion. And they do their best to keep people from asking questions. And usually when you find that people are trying to stop you from asking questions, it's because there's something shady going on. They don't want you to lift the lid. They don't want you to look deeper. And we want to lift the lid. We want to look at both sides of the issue. If somebody came to me today and said, I have proof that Jesus Christ never rose from the grave, I would absolutely want to see what proof they had. I wouldn't send them away packing just because I believe that he did rise from the grave, according to the scriptures, as the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. I believe that passage of scripture with all my heart. But if you came to me and said you had something that went against what I believed, I would absolutely at least give you a listen, because my mind is open. My mind is not closed. Now, when it comes to my salvation, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able, that he's going to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Oh, absolutely right. There's no question. I know that I know that I know that Jesus Christ is Savior, and that when I die, I'm going to heaven to be with him. There is no doubt in my mind of any kind. But because I'm an intellectually honest person, or at least I try to be, there are those who would accuse me of being closed-minded, narrow-minded, and intolerant. I don't think I'm any of those things. I think I am an open-minded, fair-minded person, and if you have something to say that goes against what I believe, at the very least, I'm going to listen to you. Now, I've been saved for 30 years, and I have heard from thousands of people who do not believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. So when somebody sends me an email and says the pre-tribulation rapture is not true, and then they tell me why they think it's not true, and it's the same reason that I've seen 100 times, well, there's no reason for me to see it 101 times. Because I've already seen that argument. But I'm always open to people who have an original argument that I haven't heard against the pre-tribulation rapture. If you have one, I'd like to hear it. But after 30 years, I think I have pretty much heard just about everything there is to hear. And pre-trib rapture 1, post-trib rapture for the church, 0. And that's the way the Bible says that it is. And I believe that. So I said all that to say this. Today we're going to talk about the most pressing issue of our day. Should I or should I not take the COVID-19 vaccine? That's the question that we're asking today. And that's the question that, Lord willing, we're going to be able to answer that question today. So I want you to have an open mind, and we're going to try to go with as much science as we possibly can. And we're going to hear from the pro-vaxxers, and we're going to hear from the anti-vaxxers. And we're going to weigh both sides, and we're going to see if we can come to a logical, rational, sane conclusion. That's what we're going to do. You know, my daughter Kelsey just got married a couple of months ago to an amazing young man, and I have my very first son-in-law, and that's a very exciting time in all our lives. But I remember when my daughter Kelsey was just born, the internet was only 1 year old. Google hadn't been invented yet. And search engines were very limited. I mean, they seemed exciting at the time, but compared to what they became, they really didn't do very much. It's like driving Henry Ford's car in 1895 and watching it go up to 8 miles an hour. Well, that's pretty exciting, but not exciting compared to any car built after 1920, that's for sure. So I can remember when Kelsey was born, and then Calvin and Megan would follow in relatively short order. I can remember being very concerned, because I've always been a health-conscious person. Should we vaccinate our children? And so I embarked on a campaign. I bought some books. I spoke with doctors. I listened to both sides of the issue. I did what research that I could do online in 1995. And I prayed about it, of course. And when I was done researching that issue, I decided that Kelsey and whoever followed after Kelsey, it turned out to be Calvin and Megan, I decided that my children would not be vaccinated, that we were going to feed them healthy organic food and vegetable juice, and we were going to try to limit their sugar intake, and we were going to raise our children with their God-given immune systems. And we embarked on a path of raising unvaccinated children. Now, Kelsey is 25, Calvin is 21, and Megan is 19. They are all absolutely the pictures of health. Last year, you remember me saying that my son Calvin, who was 20 at the time, he was diagnosed with COVID-19. He lost his sense of smell and he lost his sense of taste. And for 14 days, we were all locked down in the COVID lockdown. But other than losing his sense of smell and his sense of taste, my 20-year-old unvaccinated son, Calvin, sailed through that with flying colors. He didn't sleep any longer than he used to. He didn't have any fever. He didn't have any. My son Calvin was diagnosed with COVID-19 when he was 20. My son-in-law was diagnosed with COVID-19 6 months later. And they got through it with flying colors. They had no problems of any kind. I was exposed to it both times. Now, when my son Calvin got COVID, I developed symptoms, and I was positive that I had it, but I got tested 3 times in a 2-week period, and all 3 tests came back negative. But I had symptoms, absolutely. I felt terrible, absolutely terrible. But then my body adapted, and I recovered, and I got over it. So the point of what I'm saying is, for the last 25 years, I have been an anti-vaxxer, I guess for lack of a better term, that's what you could call me. I am not an anti-vaxxer because of anything I read on the internet. I'm not an anti-vaxxer because of any of the arguments about COVID-19. I am not an anti-vaxxer because of anything about the New World Order or the Illuminati or anything like that. I am an anti-vaxxer because I did my research a quarter of a century ago, and I came to the conclusion that I didn't need a vaccine and my children did not need to be vaccinated. Their incredible level of health, even after being exposed to and diagnosed with COVID-19, speaks for itself. So, do I feel that I made the right decisions to not vaccinate my children? Absolutely, 100%. If I was to have a child tomorrow, that child would be raised without vaccines. So, what is my personal position based on the research that I have done about the COVID-19 vaccine? I personally would not take it. I feel that the risks far outweigh the benefits. And I believe that the benefits that are being touted to a very high degree is largely marketing at this point. Now, do your own research. That's the conclusion that I came to after I did my research. So I want to start the program today with a number of short little clips so that you can have an understanding of what's really going on. I told you last week that in France, Emmanuel Macron is mandating that health workers in France receive the COVID-19 vaccine, and if they don't, they will not be allowed to keep their jobs in the healthcare field. And within 24 hours after Macron made that announcement, 2.25 million French people immediately, and they were terrified into doing it, 2.25 million French people made an appointment to be vaccinated. They didn't make that appointment because they believe that vaccines are safe, or that vaccines will keep you healthy, or that vaccines will keep you free from COVID. Because the people who make the vaccines don't make that claim. They do not claim that the vaccine will keep you COVID free. So that's one of the first points that we have to talk about today. But why did 2.25 million people in the nation of France rush right out and agree to become vaccinated? Because they were threatened with loss of their jobs. They were threatened with economic deprivation. They were told by their leader, Emmanuel Macron, that if they did not agree to receive the COVID-19 vaccine, they would be let go from their job. After that happened, after the 2.25 million people rushed right out, over 100,000 people over the weekend in France mobbed the streets of downtown Paris, demanding freedom and demanding the right to decide for themselves whether or not they want to be vaccinated. Take a listen to this. 100,000 French protesters march in the streets of Paris demanding freedom.
Over 100,000 people marched across France Saturday to protest against President Emmanuel Macron's plans to force the vaccination of health workers and require a COVID-19 vaccine certificate or negative test to gain entry to bars, restaurants, and movie theaters. Demonstrators say Macron's sweeping measures announced this week to fight a surge in COVID infections infringe on their freedom of choice.
Vaccinations are really about individual freedom. Everyone can choose. That's not the theme here today. The theme is about the absence of freedom that is unfortunately continuing to grow in this country. That's it. They're taking away our freedoms little by little. Vaccinated or not, we are all together.
One demonstrator in Paris was seen dressed as the Statue of Liberty. Some signs read, "No to the health passport." Macron's announcement had already prompted demonstrations earlier this week in Paris, where police had fired tear gas to disperse some protesters. Marches across the country also included yellow vest protesters seeking to revive the anti-government movement curbed by coronavirus lockdowns. Earlier on Saturday, the Office of Prime Minister Jean Castex said France would reinforce restrictions on unvaccinated travelers from a series of countries to fight the surge of COVID infections. The average number of new infections in France has rebounded to reach nearly 11,000 per day.
So there you have it. That took place over the weekend in Paris, France, on Saturday. Over 100,000 French people mobbing the streets, demanding that Macron give them the ability to decide for themselves what they want to do. And this is at the heart of the vaccine issue, no matter where you live, whether you live in Europe, Asia, Africa, the Middle East, or anywhere in the American continent. What is at the heart of this issue is people want to be allowed to decide for themselves. They do not want to be forced by their government to receive a vaccine, especially a vaccine that is still not approved by any governing body in any nation on earth outside of emergency use. Now, the one reason why here in the United States they haven't made the vaccine mandatory, it's not because the Biden administration believes in individual liberty, because they don't. I'm going to play a clip for you from the Biden administration that's going to make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. It's not that the Biden administration believes and agrees with the rights of the individual to have individual liberty, because they don't. But here in the United States, it is illegal to make a vaccine mandatory that has not been approved by the FDA. And you can go look that up. And that's the only reason why the Biden administration is not making it mandatory right now, because they would have to break the law to do it. Now, from everything that I'm hearing and from what people are sending me, both publicly and confidentially, you can look for sometime around September 15th to September 20th for a possible ruling by the FDA here in America to make the COVID vaccines legal, to give them full FDA approval. And when that happens, the Biden administration is going to have 100% ability to mandate that every single American citizen take that vaccine. So we're only about 6 weeks away from that. Now, speaking of the Biden administration, I told you multiple times last week of all the shenanigans that not Biden himself, because Biden is absolutely suffering from a rapidly advancing case of dementia. And I don't say that pejoratively. It is obvious. I mean, he can barely keep a straight thought in his head. He's reduced to having to give talking points from pre-written index cards, and he's struggling to read his notes from the cards. I mean, if he lasts another 3 months, it's going to be a miracle. But the people in his administration, the people in the Biden administration, they are doing a whole lot of nastiness right now. I told you last week that the Democratic National Committee is working with the Biden administration and talking to mobile phone carriers like Verizon, Sprint, AT&T. And what they want to do is they want to monitor your text messages. So if I send a text message to, say, Jeanette or Lori, and I'm talking about the vaccine, and if my message is an anti-vaccine text message, the Biden administration wants to have access to that message and then have the ability to immediately send me back a pro-vaccine text message to my private phone. Now, this may or may not happen, but it's what they're absolutely working on, and they have admitted that. The Biden administration has compiled their top 12 list. They call it the Dirty Dozen. And it's people who they say should be immediately banned on all social media. People like Dr. Joseph Mercola. People like Robert Kennedy. And so what the Biden administration has done is they've created an enemies list. And they say that because of the COVID situation, that they are well within their right to proceed against people that they have determined to be enemies of the United States because of their position on taking a vaccine. So what I want you to be able to see that I'm trying to pull out of this debate as to whether we should or should not be vaccinated, there is a whole secondary issue that has a spiritual component to it. And in this spiritual side of this situation, individual liberties and freedoms are being stripped away. Now, when you read your King James Bible, and if you believe what you read, you understand what's happening. Ultimately, this is the spirit of Antichrist, and the things that are happening now have been foreordained, and the United States has got to be taken down, because the only way that you can bring in the New World Order is you've got to take down the United States, the last nation on earth that even attempts to stand for the freedom of the individual. And you can't have a new world order. You can't have a one world government if you have a nation like the United States where people are free or mostly free. So one of the main subtexts to this whole vaccine debate is, do we have the right of self-determination? And ironically, that's exactly what the American Revolution was fought over. Back in 1776, we fought a war that didn't end till 1783. And the reason why we battled with the British, because we asserted that people had the right to determine their own futures. People had the right of individual and auto determination. And so the United States was born one nation under God, where the freedom of the individual was put first and foremost, something that had never been done in human history. The United States of America, for all its faults and problems and warts and blemishes, the United States of America is one of the most unique countries that has ever existed. And I would say next to the nation of Israel, which is the most unique country in the world, because Israel was created by God as God's chosen people, the Jewish people. That's the only nation that God ever actively created. Israel is the only nation that is God's nation. Now, we say that we are one nation under God, but there's no Bible scripture to tell you that God has created a covenant with the United States. But the point that I'm trying to make is that the American Revolution was fought because people believed that the individual rights of the individual were to be upheld, and that the state could not strip those rights away because those rights came from God. If somebody has to allow you to be free, that's not freedom. If you want to hold a rally and people come to you and say, you have to go off to this free speech zone if you want to speak your mind. That's not free speech. Free speech is you can speak your mind any place, anywhere, anytime, without fear of reprisal from the state. That's what our First Amendment really means. It doesn't mean that you can go into a crowded movie theater and shout fire. That is not free speech. Free speech is that you can take a position on an issue like vaccines, and you can be for vaccines or you can be against vaccines, and you can speak your mind without fear of reprisal from the state. That is the definition of, in the United States, our First Amendment, the freedom of speech. But this clip that I'm going to play for you right now from, it took place Friday, I think, with a news reporter from Fox News, Peter Ducey, and he was talking with Jen Psaki, and he asked her, how long has the Biden administration been spying on the American people? Something that is illegal to do. And I want you to listen to the exchange between Peter Ducey and Jen Psaki, and you'll see right away what the problem is, and you'll see right away what we're really actually up against. Take a listen to this. Peter Ducey asks Jen Psaki, for how long has the administration been spying on the American people?
Speaking of misinformation and the announcement from yesterday, for how long has the administration been spying on people's Facebook profiles looking for vaccine misinformation?
Well, that was quite a loaded and inaccurate question, which I would refute. Well, Peter, first of all, as you know, we're in a regular touch with a range of media outlets.
As we are
in regular touch with social media platforms. This is publicly open information, people sharing information online, just as you are all reporting information on your news stations.
Okay, so these 12 people who you have on a list, 12 individuals, do they know that somebody at the Surgeon General's office is going through their profile?
I'm happy to get you the citation of where that comes from. There's no secret list. I will tell you that these are people who are sharing information on public platforms on Facebook, information that is traveling, is inaccurate. Our biggest concern here, and I frankly think it should be your biggest concern, is the number of people who are dying around the country because they're getting misinformation that is leading them to not take a vaccine.
But
young people, old people, kids, children, this is all being, a lot of them are being impacted by misinformation.
The big concern, though, I think, for a lot of people on Facebook is that now this is Big Brother watching you.
They're more concerned about that than people dying across the country because of a pandemic where misinformation is traveling on social media platforms. That feels unlikely to me. If you have the data to back that up, I'm happy to discuss it.
About things that are on Facebook, I looked this morning. There are videos of Dr. Fauci from 2020 before anybody had a vaccine, and he is out there saying there's no reason to be walking around with a mask. So is the administration going to contact Facebook and ask them to take that down?
Well, first, I think what Dr. Fauci has said himself, who's been quite public out there, is that science evolves, information evolves, and we make that available in a public way to the American people.
Exactly.
I have never seen any data to suggest that that the vaccines cause infertility. That is information that is irresponsibly traveling. Okay.
About the science evolving, Facebook used to block people from posting that COVID may have originated for a lab. That is something this president now admits is a possibility. So is there any concern that things you're trying to block or have taken down might someday turn out to be...
We don't take anything down. We don't block anything. Facebook and any private sector company makes decisions about what information should be on their platform. Our point is that there is information that is leading to people not taking the vaccine and people are dying as a result. And we have a responsibility as a public health matter to raise that issue. The responsibility we all have, the government, media, platforms, public messengers, to give accurate information. Go ahead.
So there you have Peter Ducey from Fox News, and he's talking with Jen Psaki, and you heard the exchange for yourself. And when Peter Ducey asked Jen Psaki, what about Anthony Fauci, who in June of 2020 went on 60 Minutes and laughingly told people not to wear a mask? In fact, it's only 45 seconds long. Take a listen to what Anthony Fauci said that Jen Psaki just tried to deflect. Oh, science is constantly evolving. That's not science. Science doesn't evolve. Science is supposed to deal with facts and figures and quantifiable, observable results. That's what science is. Science doesn't evolve. Take a listen to what Anthony Fauci said in June of 2020.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
All right, so there you have Anthony Fauci, and he said two or three times, and I only played 38 seconds of that clip for you. 38 seconds of that clip with Anthony Fauci saying, do not wear a mask. At the time that Anthony Fauci made that claim, that he made that statement, and you heard the interviewer, he said, are you sure, Dr. Fauci? Because people are concerned and people want to know. Are you 100% sure, Dr. Fauci? Absolutely. Don't wear the mask. When Anthony Fauci said that in June of 2020, he had been working for the CDC for over 40 years. And do you think within that 40-year period of time, Anthony Fauci was able to learn whether or not a cloth mask actually protects you in a viral outbreak? Do you think that that's information that should be relatively easily available to high-level scientific researchers and doctors who are on the forefront of studying infectious disease? Do you think that after 40 years of working for the CDC that Anthony Fauci could have answered the question, does a cloth mask help in a viral outbreak? Well, last year in June of 2020, you heard what he said, don't wear a mask. There's no reason to wear one. And yet, the entire country and most of the world has been off and on mask requirements. So this is what we're dealing with. At the start of this program, I told you that there's multiple issues happening. It is not just should we or should we not take a vaccine. There's freedom issues. There's individual liberty issues. There's medical issues. There's scientific issues. There's spiritual issues that are being attached to this. Now, the people on the Biden side of the fence, they don't want you to look at any of the negatives. But if you're going by science, if you had an experiment, a scientific experiment where 1 million people did well, but 10,000 people died in a scientific experiment, that experiment would be put on hold. Because 10,000 deaths would be unacceptable in a scientific experiment. And one of the things that they do to kind of mess with your mind is they'll tell you things like, well, okay, 10,000 people died, but, well, we don't know if they actually died from having the vaccine, or would they have died of what they died from, 17-year-old children with heart attacks? Every once in a while, and it usually makes huge headlines, some high school student who has a heart condition that he didn't know about will be practicing on the summertime football team during a heat wave. And every couple of years, you hear a story on how a high school student wound up dying in the hot summertime heat because they had an underlying heart condition that they didn't know about. But that is extremely, extremely rare. In the last 6 months, there has been thousands of high school students diagnosed with myocarditis. Thousands of them. And all those thousands of students have one thing in common. They all received one of the vaccines, whether it's Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, or J&J, or what have you. And again, if we were going by science, that would be a huge red flag. Why are thousands of children, high school age children, healthy children, why are they being diagnosed with myocarditis? And some of those children have had heart attacks and they have died. But when you talk to the people on the Biden side of the administration, they don't ever want to even acknowledge that. In fact, what they say is, well, yes, that's on the VAERS reporting system, but you can't trust that system because that's just people who log on and they say what happened to them. We haven't had time to check out those claims to make sure that they're actually true. So we're not going to count that. And yet, on the vaccine side of the question, they use the same argument against you to say why you should take the vaccine. Well, don't look at the fact that it hasn't been approved by the FDA. Don't look at the fact that there's problems. Don't look at the fact that your friends or neighbors got blood clots from it. You need to take the vaccine and blah, 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 blah. And one of the things that really scares me about what we are hearing from the mainstream narrative is they are only pushing one side of the issue. And they act like these 300,000 adverse reactions and 10,991 deaths in people who have taken the COVID vaccine. They are acting like those lives don't matter to anybody. And their attitude is sit down, shut up, and take the vaccine. Don't pay any attention to people who were getting sick from it. Don't pay any attention to people who are dying from it. Like Hank Aaron, Marvis Marvelin Hagler, various doctors, famous people who have died from it. I personally know people. I had a woman here yesterday. She's a friend and she's a client. Her name is Kathy. Her mother took the vaccine and she was diagnosed with blood clots days after getting the vaccine. And that story has repeated itself multiple times throughout my friends list of people that I'm friends with. I have friends who know somebody that's taken the vaccine and they have died from it. I have multiple friends who have told me that their friends have died from taking the COVID vaccine. On the other side of the equation, I have a friend of mine right now. His name is Mark, and he's in the hospital up in Jacksonville. We prayed for him yesterday morning. We prayed for him last night. He is in the hospital right now with COVID pneumonia. And we are praying that God will give him a complete and full recovery. So, if you say to somebody, don't take the vaccine, and they get sick with COVID, is that my fault? If I say to somebody, take the vaccine, and they get blood clots and they wind up at death's door in the hospital, or God forbid they actually die after I told them to take the vaccine, is that my fault? So you see that we're kind of in the middle of this situation. The COVID vaccine is, the COVID virus is a very real thing. Now, we understand that this virus was created in a laboratory in Wuhan, China. We understand that Anthony Fauci used American taxpayer money to have gain-of-function research performed on the COVID-19 virus. And we told you on our podcast last week that as early as December of 2019, Moderna had already submitted a COVID-19-specific vaccine candidate. 3 months before COVID-19 became a problem here in the United States. And then when COVID became a problem in the United States, what did they call it? They called it the novel COVID-19 coronavirus, meaning it was brand new. They had never seen it before. They had never heard of it before. But last week, we showed you and we gave you the proof that Moderna had already been working on a COVID-19-specific vaccine for at least 2 years before COVID hit America. Now, does that sound like somebody's lying to you? It sounds that way to me. I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. And I thank God that we have access to information like that and that we can prove to you, like we did last week. If you haven't heard that podcast, go back and listen to it. We have the absolute proof that Moderna was working on a COVID-19-specific vaccine for up to 2 years before everybody pretended that it came out of nowhere. And aren't we surprised? And what are we supposed to do? So one of the problems that I have with this whole situation is that, as Jen Psaki said, there is absolutely misinformation that is swirling around there. There is a ton of misinformation out there. And the problem is the misinformation is on both sides of the fence. And we are going to do our best to see if we can figure out who's telling the truth and who is trying to tell us a story. So let's take a listen to Dr. Fauci. This is from just the other day, talking about vaccine hesitancy and new mask mandates.
Dr. Fauci, are we looking at a split-screen America right now, a vaccinated part of the country doing quite well and an unvaccinated part of the country in crisis?
You know, unfortunately, I think we are looking to some sort of version of that, essentially two Americas, an unvaccinated, at-risk America and a vaccinated America that, relatively speaking, is quite protected against infection, including by the Delta variant, which has a great capability of spreading from person to person.
As you know, Los Angeles County has reinstituted its mask guidelines for indoor use for vaccinated and unvaccinated people. Is there a risk for confusion here or raising questions about the efficacy of the vaccines?
Well, I don't think it raises questions about the efficacy of the vaccines, but what I do think it does is show that there is a degree of discretion at the local level, Lester, under certain circumstances where you have a high level of dynamics of infection, be that in Los Angeles or wherever, the local authorities do have the discretion of going that extra mile or going the extra step it takes to make sure that the spread of this virus is really contained. And they do that by saying that everyone should wear a mask.
Did you hear what he said? And they do that by saying that they make sure that everybody should wear a mask. 5 minutes ago, I played that clip for you of Dr. Fauci from June of 2020, who was mocking the idea when he sat down with Lester Holt. He was mocking the idea of wearing a mask. And the clip that I just played for you right now, oh, there's no way that you can be safe without wearing a mask. Well, Fauci, which is it, mask or no mask? So again, it's really hard to understand what you should believe and what you should not believe, because there is so much untruth that is being mixed in and swirled around like soft serve ice cream, to the point where it becomes almost impossible to distinguish between who's telling you the truth and who's lying to you. Take a listen to what the Surgeon General said about misinformation around COVID-19.
Troubling new headlines on the coronavirus here in the U.S. New cases heading in the wrong direction at an alarming rate. Cases now on the rise in at least 45 states. The Delta variant, of course, driving much of this. Moments ago in California, in L.A. County, where cases and hospitalizations are rising significantly, they have just revealed they will reimpose the mask mandate indoors, even if you're vaccinated. And the dire warning just today from the nation's Surgeon General about what he called the urgent threat of health misinformation, myths and untruths about the vaccines. He says putting American lives at risk. The Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, saying false information on social media and elsewhere is sowing mistrust about vaccines, slowing down the rate of vaccinations. And in places where there are high numbers of unvaccinated, we are seeing cases spike. Across the country, COVID cases have now doubled in just the last 3 weeks, and hospitals say their COVID patients are younger, sicker, and nearly all of them unvaccinated. The concern growing for children younger than 12 who aren't yet eligible for vaccines. Tonight in Utah, for one, they're investigating cases linked to 10 different summer camps in just 1 week. Here in New York City tonight, this evening's Yankees game against the Red Sox has now been postponed after news on the virus and two pitchers. And of course, that news from California moments ago, L.A. County saying they will return to that mask mandate indoors because of the numbers they're seeing there. 184 million Americans have now received at least one dose of the vaccine. That's about 65% of people 12 years and older. But authorities are concerned that that is still not enough to stop this Delta variant from spreading and quickly. ABC's Whit Johnson leading us off tonight.
Tonight, the spike in new coronavirus cases across much of this country, fueled by the Delta variant. The CDC says cases are on the rise in at least 45 states. The U.S. back to an average of 1,000 new cases reported every hour. Late today, the mask mandate returning for Los Angeles County. And all of this comes as the new Surgeon General issues his first official advisory, calling misinformation surrounding the pandemic and vaccines an urgent threat in the fight against COVID.
Today, we live in a world where misinformation poses an imminent and insidious threat to our nation's health.
The nation's Dr. Vivek Murthy saying two-thirds of people who are not vaccinated believe common myths about vaccines. He's now calling on social media companies and politicians to take more responsibility.
Every one of us has the power and the responsibility to make a difference in this fight. Lives are depending on it.
So there you have the Surgeon General of the United States talking about myths and misinformation. Have you ever noticed that every single time that you hear a sound clip about the myths and misinformation and why everybody needs to take the vaccine, that you never, ever hear any of those people talk about the people who take the vaccine and don't do well? And if they do talk about it, they use statistics and numbers that are so crazy out of line. Oh, yeah, we have tracked down 6 confirmed cases of blood clots after taking the J&J vaccine. But in reality, it was 600 or 1600. And one of the reasons why there is vaccine hesitancy, and if the Biden administration is monitoring this broadcast, here's a question that I'd like to ask Jen Psaki. When you talk about myths and misinformation, the reason why people don't believe what you're saying is because you yourself are spreading myths and misinformation. You make people think that it's that they have no choice but to take this vaccine, that if they don't take this vaccine, they're going to die. And then you have 11,000 people who took the vaccine and they died because they took the vaccine. And had they not taken the vaccine, it's highly likely they would still be alive today. So my question to the Biden administration is, how come you people never talk about the other side? How come you never admit that there is a serious issue with adverse reactions? But you never talk about that. And when you do talk about it, you lie about the numbers. So don't blame social media for myths and misinformation. I blame the people who are in charge. I blame the CDC. I blame the Surgeon General. I blame the people at the World Health Organization. I blame the Biden administration for the myths and misinformation because they refuse to tell the truth. I think a lot more people would have confidence to take the vaccine if tomorrow night somebody from the Biden administration got on TV and said, we just want to report that 186 million people have taken the vaccine and 10,991 people have died after taking the vaccine. And then talk about how the vast majority of people who take the vaccine have not died. Now, I'm not excusing that. Not in the least bit and not by any means. But I am simply saying, how much more confidence would people have if the people in charge started telling the truth? They only promote their side. And one of the ways that you know that you're dealing with a liar, and yes, I'm calling them liars, one of the way that you know that you're dealing with a liar is that they only promote their side. Have you ever had a political argument? Say you're a Republican and you're having an argument with a Democrat. And then a Democrat gets caught doing something really bad, really nasty. And then you wait for your Democrat friend to admit, yeah, we really blew it, didn't we? But they don't. They duck and they cover and they make excuses and they pretend that what happened didn't happen. And that's why you can never solve arguments. You can never come to a satisfactory conclusion when you are talking with people who are intellectually dishonest. Because somebody who is intellectually honest, when they are proven to be wrong, they will admit that they are wrong. And so I submit to you today that the overwhelming reason why so many people are afraid to take the vaccine is because they know that they're being lied to by the people at the top, and they know that they're only hearing one side of the story. So that forces them to go and start investigating that themselves. And when you do investigate that yourself, you hear things like this. Take a listen to this clip from a woman by the name of Astrid Stickelberger from Norway, talking about 18,000 deaths in Europe from the COVID-19 vaccine. Take a listen.
For example, that you have to give back to the people the research results very quickly.
Yeah.
And in the case of vaccine, I just heard before, we know, for example, in Europe, there is already absolutely confirmed by UDRA vigilance at least 18,000 deaths linked directly to the vaccine. In a normal research, you would stop this immediately. And there's 1,800,000 severe cases. So this is only 1 to 10%, according to Rainer Füllmich and other scientists, about of what is really on the ground, happening on the ground. Because as a doctor, you have to, you know, fill in a big formula. It takes time. You have to be sure that there is a cause effect with the vaccine, like immediate death, you know, after the vaccine has happened. And, but there's a lot of censorship. So ethically, we have absolutely no application of what WHO has promoted.
So there you have a doctor and a scientific researcher in Europe. I believe she's from Norway. Her name is Astrid Stickelberger. And she just told you that according to their statistics in Europe, 18,000 people in the European Union have died immediately after receiving the COVID-19 vaccine. And she said that in any other form of scientific research, the vaccines would have been put on hold immediately with 18,000 dead people in the European Union and 10,991 dead people in the United States of America. Have you ever seen how here in the United States, in every one of our 50 states, there are very, very strong enforcement programs against drinking and driving? And I agree, there should be very strong enforcement against people who drink and drive, because that is a very, very dangerous thing. And statistically, here in the United States, approximately 450 people every single day die in auto-related accidents while one or more of the drivers were under the influence of alcohol. And because of that, we have these massive anti-drinking and driving programs in every one of our 50 states. If you get caught driving under the influence, you're going to lose your license, 6 months, a year, depending on what the situation is. It's going to cost you an average of $10,000 in legal fees minimum to defend yourself against a DWI or DUI case. And that is at a rate of 450 people dying every single day. But if you compare that to the number of people who are driving, that 450 number is almost, it's so small that it's almost insignificant compared to the hundreds of millions of people that are driving in America every single day. What percentage, let's say 185 million people will drive in America today, and 450 people will die in alcohol-related car crashes. What percent of 185 million is 450? I don't know the answer to that. Maybe somebody in the chat room can crunch those numbers for us. But what percentage of 185 million is 450? That is a very, 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 very small number of people. And yet, that very, 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 very small number of people gets huge attention. So, 183 million people have taken the COVID vaccine in America. 10,991 are reported to have died. That's a small number. 10,991 is a small number compared to 185 million. But why is that number not acknowledged? Why does nobody in the Biden administration even admit that that's an actual number when those are the numbers from the CDC's own website? So you see, this is why people don't trust what they're hearing. It has nothing to do with social media, has nothing to do with anything that Alex Jones is saying. The reason why people don't trust the Biden administration or Anthony Fauci or the CDC or the WHO, people don't trust those people because they are lying. At the very least, they're only giving you one side of the story. And how is it possible that you can make an informed, rational decision with only hearing one side of the story? There's a lawyer by the name of Thomas Rentz, and today he announced that he is filing a lawsuit claiming that 45,000 Americans have died 3 days after receiving the COVID jab. Now, I don't know anything about this guy, but I told you that I was going to show you both sides of the equation. I want you to listen to what this man has to say. He says that he claims to have whistleblower information. Sidney Powell said she had whistleblower information and she was going to release the Kraken. Sidney Powell lied about releasing the Kraken. Why did she lie? I have no idea. All I know is what she said did not turn out to be true. I don't know this man, Thomas Rentz, but this clip came across my desk moments before going to air. Take a listen to what this lawyer has to say.
I'm going to talk about something real serious today. And this is a brand new announcement. I'm filing papers in federal court today. So you guys are the first to hear. And yeah, go ahead and post it. It'll be censored in about 6 seconds. But here's what I'm going to say to those that are going to censor this. Google, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Let me tell you what I'm going to say. You are complicit in causing death. And I cannot wait to sue you over and over again. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you what a woman who has incredible courage, who we're calling Jane Doe for right now, she gave me some information. She's an insider. She's a whistleblower. We're submitting to federal court today based on a sworn declaration. Under threat of perjury, this woman attested to this, and she is an expert. We know, based on what she said, that there have been at least 45,000 deaths from this vaccine. I'm going to tell you what I know. I know, based on this woman's testimony, because she has seen the inside of the systems, that there have been 45,000 deaths based on how many people died within 3 days of the vaccine in just one system that's reporting to the federal government. Now, I'm going to tell you what I can't prove. That piece of information, that 45,000 deaths, okay, I want to put that in perspective. 45,000. Look around you. If all of you were dead now, that would not even come close to 45,000. I live in a town of about 10 to 12,000. If they killed my entire town, that would not be 45,000. Not a mathematician. Ladies and gentlemen, 45,000, and let me tell you what, there are reportedly around 11 or 12 systems that are reporting deaths and injuries to the government. How many have really died? And why are they covering it up? These people are murdering people. This is complicity at minimum. People need to be in jail. Do you remember Brett Kavanaugh? The serious of the charges were such that we had to put that man through hell twice. The serious of the charges. One woman from 30 years ago who couldn't remember what she was saying. I am telling you, we have someone who has sworn under penalty of perjury that there's been at least 45,000. And my guess, I've been working on this for a while now, is that it's immensely higher number, immensely. They know it, and they are covering it up, and I want investigations immediately.
So there you have lawyer Thomas Renz, R-E-N-Z, and that's the claim that he's making, and he said that he has, today, he is filing a lawsuit against the American government because he has whistleblower information that 45,000 Americans have died within 3 days after receiving the COVID vaccine. We'll just have to wait and see if that turns out to be true. I gave Sidney Powell a fair hearing, and she was not able to produce. Let's see what lawyer Thomas Renz is going to do with his lawsuit. And we will be monitoring that, and whether it's a bust or a boom, we will report back and we'll let you know how far that lawyer Thomas Renz got with his lawsuit, claiming that 45,000 Americans have died 3 days after receiving the COVID jab. Now, I want you to ask yourself this question. If the numbers that I gave to you at the start of this show, Thomas Renz says there's 45,000, my numbers say 10,991, but I don't have any whistleblower information. If you're a whistleblower and you're listening to this program and you would like to give me some inside information, send me an email, info@nowthenbegins.com. And if you're a whistleblower, I'll listen to whatever you have to say, and if I can prove what you're saying, I'll be more than happy to report on what you tell me. But I don't have any COVID-19 highly placed whistleblowers within the United States government at the moment. Maybe that will change. But all I can do is take Thomas Renz at face value. My numbers say 10,991. His numbers say 45,000 and even higher than that. But let me ask you a question, and let's put it in real, practical, easy to understand, non-scientific terms, because most people are not scientific. One of the things that I try to do with our weekly Bible studies, I try to make complex Bible topics simple to understand, because most people are not Bible scholars. And so I don't speak in the language of a Bible scholar. I don't hide behind the Greek or hide behind the Hebrew. Because if I did, you wouldn't know if I was telling you the truth. Because you don't speak Greek or Hebrew. So you would just have to simply take what I say at face value. And so that's why when we do the Bible studies, I try very, very hard to take complex issues and make them simple so everybody can have an equal opportunity at understanding what the Bible is teaching. I believe that that's good Bible teaching, to make it simple for people. It shouldn't be complicated. Salvation is not complicated. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Case closed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Case closed. Now, for everything else past that, you have to learn how to study. You have to learn how to rightly divide. 2 Timothy 2:15, we talked about that last night, on the importance of having a King James Bible, so that you can rightly divide. The words rightly divide don't even appear in the NIV Bible, much less allow you to do it. If you had an NIV Bible, you wouldn't even know that God commands us to rightly divide the scriptures. So it's important that if you want to get to the truth of any topic, you have to make it simple, and you have to do a little thinking. You have to have a little bit of elbow grease. You have to have a little bit of hard work. Paul says, study like a workman, like a plumber, carpenter, electrician, mechanic. So let me ask you this question, and I'll keep it really, really simple. If you go out and get the vaccine tomorrow, How do you know if you're going to be one of the 185 million who did not die, or you're going to be one of the 10,991 people who did die? And that's the real problem that nobody is talking about. And that is the real, that is at the heart of the issue. At this point, 8 months into the vaccine, at this point, enough people have died that people should be asking a serious question. At this point, enough people have had adverse reactions, 300,000 people in America. That woman, Astrid Stickelberger, she said it's 1.8 million people in Europe with adverse reactions and 18,000 people who have died. But at this point, we have had enough deaths and enough adverse reactions that if they don't give you that option, then they're lying to you. If the Biden administration wants to be trusted, then the next time that they talk about people taking the vaccine, they should say 185 million people have taken it and there's no known side effects. 300,000 people have been hospitalized and 11,000 people are dead. If the Biden administration or the CDC or the WHO or Bill Gates or Anthony Fauci would say that to people, that would give me a trust level. Here, we want you to take our vaccine. 185 million people took it. They're fine. 300,000 people were hospitalized after taking it. And 11,000 people were buried or cremated after taking it. And let you know that for everybody who takes the vaccine, you're going to wind up in one of those three groups. You're either going to be in the majority group that took the vaccine and nothing happened to you. You're going to be in the second category that you took the vaccine and you wound up in the hospital. Or you're going to be in the third category, you took the vaccine and you died. Now, I don't know about you, but 10,991 people dead in 8 months after taking the vaccine, if that's not a red flag, then red flags don't exist. That is a huge, huge, huge warning sign. And the reason why people have vaccine hesitancy is because they know that, and they know that the government is lying to them. So they are forced to find their own source of information in programs like this podcast and other programs where people try to bring you the truth. Can you imagine what it would be like if you take your 17-year-old son who's a star soccer player, or your 16-year-old daughter who's a cheerleader, and you tell them that they've got to get vaccinated, and you put them in the car and you take them to get vaccinated, and within 24 hours they're in the ICU because their head is riddled with blood clots. Are you willing to have that on your conscience? Take a listen to this clip.
So there is enormous social pressure, and in fact, institutional pressure from the corporate media, not to mention any potential downsides of vaccines. And while most people agree, this show certainly does, that vaccines are a good thing, nothing is all good. Nothing in this temporal world comes without a downside in any.
You see, that's what Tucker is telling you is exactly what I've been telling you for the last 90 minutes. Everything comes with a downside. And when you only present one side of the case and then you greatly minimize the other side, people inherently know that you're lying and they don't trust you.
Anyone who claims otherwise is a liar, period. That's always true. Sometimes the trade-off is worth it, but there's always a downside. So we feel honor-bound to tell you what it is, because it's your choice whether to take it or not, period. So way back in January, just when the vaccines had come out, a physician called Gregory Michael died of a brain hemorrhage 16 days after taking Pfizer's COVID vaccine. Since then, health officials have been probing a link between the vaccine and blood clotting. And in fact, the Biden administration's own numbers suggest that more than 5,000 people have died from taking the vaccine. You can argue about whether or not that's true, but you can argue it's not worth following up on.
And just to let you know, this clip from Tucker is about 10 days ago. And 10 days ago, the VAERS website, which is maintained by the CDC, this is the Biden administration's own website, 10 days ago showed you that 5,000 people had died after taking the COVID vaccine. 10 days ago. And now, 10 days later, that number, as of July 9th, was 10,991. In a week and a half, 6,000 more people died from the time that this clip was made.
And it hasn't been by anybody. Meanwhile, the AstraZeneca vaccine has not been administered in many countries, including here in the U.S., in part because scientists believe it can cause fatal bleeding. So the question is, how widespread are these problems? No one is reporting on this. Again, we're not saying vaccines are bad. We believe vaccines are good, and some people should take vaccines. But we believe in telling the truth, period. Sherry Romney has firsthand evidence of the harm that they can do. She says members of her family experienced blood clotting after taking the COVID vaccine, and we're happy to be joined by her tonight. Ms. Romney, thanks so much for coming on tonight. Now, I know from reading your pre-interview that you're in favor of vaccines, you've taken vaccines, you've obviously encouraged your family to take. So it's not a question of whether vaccines are good or bad. It's a question because most people, including me, think they're good. But in the case of this vaccine, what do you believe the effect on your husband and your son has been?
Well, there's no other explanation for what happened to my son and my husband. So we are pretty certain that it was a direct result of the vaccine. My son and my husband formed blood clots. My son formed blood clots, three blood clots, two in his brain, and my husband formed over 100 in his lungs.
Oh, now, first of all, I'm sorry. That's awful, and it's devastating.
So there you have a woman who is telling Tucker that they are a pro-vaccine family and the three of them went out and got vaccinated. She got vaccinated, her husband got vaccinated, and her 17-year-old soccer-playing son also got vaccinated. Within a very short period of time, she was fine. The husband has over 100 blood clots in his lungs. He's in the hospital. And the son spent about 3 weeks in intensive care. And he's already been told by the doctors that he is not going to be physically strong enough to play soccer in school next year. Now, this is what you have to consider if you're thinking about getting the vaccine. This woman who just told you that her husband and son were hospitalized with very severe blood clots after receiving the vaccine, this woman is a pro-vaccine person. That's why they went and got the vaccine, because they believe what the government told them. Her husband and son almost died. So, as you begin to think and you ask God to give you wisdom, and every Bible-believing Christian should be trusting God, in Proverbs chapter 3, somebody said in the chat room, hey, give me some good news. Well, sometimes the news is bad. But you want good news? I'll give you good news. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and he shall direct thy paths. I went to the Lord about this situation. 25 years ago, I asked the Lord, should I vaccinate my children? And God told me not to. 25 years later, I am thrilled that I made that decision. And I am blessed to have three extremely healthy children who have not been vaccinated. One of those kids got COVID last year. He didn't even break a sweat, because his God-given immune system defended him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's my answer to you today. I have presented what I feel is a very fair case. I have let you hear from the Surgeon General. I let you hear from Anthony Fauci. I let you hear from various pro-vaccine people. I let you hear from people who got vaccinated and they had big, serious problems. My friend Mark is in the hospital right now with COVID-19. Please pray that he gets better. Add him to your prayer list. I don't know if he's been vaccinated or not. I'll ask him. My friend Kathy, her mom, got vaccinated and she got blood clots. My friend Chelsea, her friend got vaccinated and she died. My friend Scott, his friend got vaccinated and he died. There's three groups right now. There's the majority group who get vaccinated and they don't appear to have any side effects. There's 300,000 people who were hospitalized after being vaccinated. And there's 10,991 or 45,000, depending on which numbers that you take, of people who took the vaccine and they died. The only way that you're going to know what path you should take, and the only realistic advice that I can give you as somebody who's trying to help you and tell you the truth, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And with that, we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. I want to thank you for being a part of the NTEB family of global Bible believers. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another edition of our Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Have a great, safe week, everybody.
Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not, as Thou hast been now, forever will be. Springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and with stars in their courses above. Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see, all I have believed in thy hand and provided, great. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings alive with 10,000 beside. Oh, faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness.